Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
A lot happening, much of it around Salem in one way or another, with the legislature still in session. But we want to look at the campaign for governor, talk again with Republican candidate Christine Drazen. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Kyle. It's always good to be back.
So as the primary starts to get people's attention, not too far off now, how do you feel like your campaign is going?
Oh, it's been terrific, and I am excited to be back on the campaign trail and talking with Oregonians across the state. You know, my favorite part about running for governor and, frankly, being in public service is that you have the opportunity to have people talk to you and tell you what they're concerned about and what they care about and what they want for their own future. And that part of the race has been, it's been terrific to be back out there again and talking to folks. So it's been strong, and people are excited to fire Tina Kotek and get our state back on the right track.
Well, they are excited enough that we have 20 people currently running for governor. I think about 14 of those Republicans, many of them names that just about nobody knows. But does that all muddy up the process a lot when there are a number of campaigns pushing that direction?
Well, I think that our process is intended to be, you know, loud and muddy and complicated. And that is that's a feature, not a flaw. It means that people are energized. It means that people want change. It means that people care enough to be willing to participate in the process. And I look forward to the opportunity to unify Oregonians and unify Republicans and all start pulling in the same direction to replace an incumbent governor that doesn't deserve a second term. And that's what the primary is all about. It's really all about sharing my vision for the future of the state. And that vision is pretty simple. I want Oregon to be the best place in the nation to be able to raise your family and to be able to start a business or grow your business, to get a world-class education and live your best life. That means you have to be able to afford to live here. It means that we have to have safe communities. It means that we need to end homelessness. And we have got to lower taxes. This is all absolutely possible in our beautiful state. But if we want any of it, we have got to fire Tina Kotek. So I'm excited to be on the road. I'm excited to be in this race. And I look forward to May 19th and the opportunity to be the nominee that goes toe-to-toe with Tina Kotek.
Now, on the GOP side, there's really, most observers would say, four main candidates. How do you differentiate yourself from the other three?
You know, there's really no comparison for my level of knowledge and experience and frankly, just the sacrifices that I have made to fight for Oregonians through the years. I led a walkout on cap and trade. I fought for schools and businesses to reopen during COVID. I killed a $15 billion tax increase at the end of the long session that Oregonians gratefully, you know, only had a $4.3 billion tax increase, and they crushed it with their referendum, and they're going to crush it at the ballot. But I have experience, you know, fighting the machine and also working across the aisle when it benefits Oregonians. No one can say that they have the level of knowledge and sacrifice and experience that I have. And I've also built up some relationships across the state. The opportunity to run and really have a truly heartbreaking loss with Oregonians is also an opportunity to continue a conversation that I've been having with Oregonians across our state for a while now. And I know them well, and they know me. And I would be honored to be able to finish what we started in 2022.
You were the Republican nominee in the prior general election. You ended up in a three-person race, essentially, three main candidates. Coming right back in 4 years later, do you feel like that's an advantage, or do you think some people would look at and question if you didn't win the first time, why you were running again?
You know, I don't think Oregonians are the kind of people that believe in giving up. If you live here, then you are somebody that works hard, and you absolutely work for your families, you work for your values, And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm about. I am a lifelong Oregonian, and those are my values. The fact that I was willing to run before and put it all on the line, and that we had a third-party spoiler candidate, does not change the fact that I am more committed than ever to fighting for the future of our state and turning our state around. It is an absolute privilege to have the opportunity to come back and serve in my House district again, and then immediately be elected Republican leader again, lead the caucus, lead the fight, and kill that transportation tax in that long session. That's positive. That is absolutely a privilege that I have been able to continue to fight and serve the public and serve my community. And I'm grateful to be back in the fight again. But it's really just about being unwilling to give up. I grew up in a family that knew struggle. I grew up in a family that was out of work. And I grew up in a family that didn't have what we needed. And because of, you know, the fact that our timber industry shut down, it meant my dad's mill shut down that he worked at. And it meant that he spent a couple of years looking for work. That showed me that you just keep working. You just keep working. You just keep trying. You do not give up. And those are values that haven't left me. And there's no way that I am going to walk away from an opportunity to finish the fight and finish what we started.
Any idea, and I know it's early here in March, if, let's say that you win the primary, do you see a potential for a significant third party or independent candidate again?
Oh, gosh, I certainly hope not. I mean, there is a guarantee that we will see a spoiler if we see another third-party candidate. Oregon is a state that has some Democrat advantage in our state. And for a Republican to overcome that, you can't have center-right candidates running and also taking votes away from somebody that doesn't support the extreme progressive that's on the ballot. So that actually is something that I hope doesn't occur. I hope that people unify and that they work together regardless of party affiliation to just basically reject the status quo and say we need better, we need competence, we need common sense, we need clarity about the future, we need a vision for the future, and that's what I bring to this race. That's what I bring in my leadership on behalf of Oregonians. But we have a very real opportunity this election cycle. You know, this last week I spoke with the OEA convention. They invited me to come and present to their members. And, of course, I went right after Tina Kotek spoke to their group. And following that convention, the OEA made the decision not to endorse Tina in this election. Now, let me be clear, they're not rushing to endorse a Republican. They didn't offer that endorsement to me, but it is a stinging indictment of the governor's lack of leadership on something as basic as failed schools that the Oregon Education Association, which was one of her biggest backers in the 2022 election, is unwilling to endorse her when she's running for reelection as an incumbent. She is a failed governor by every metric, whether or not you're looking at our economy. Homelessness has risen by 35% in the 3 years that she's been governor. That doesn't happen automatically, that doesn't happen naturally when you're spending the kind of money we are to try to curb homelessness. But she has failed leadership and she doesn't have any new ideas. And so the status quo isn't good enough for the OEA. The status quo isn't good enough for teachers. It's not good enough for families. It's certainly not good enough for Oregonians who are facing crushing increases in taxes and the cost of living here is not getting any easier. That's just Tina Kotek's leadership in a nutshell. And we're going to fight and we're going to work. And I'm going to unify Oregonians behind a vision for the future of our state that is hopeful and ambitious and positive. And I'm going to ask for their vote in May and I'm going to ask for it again in November.
If you do win the primary, what's your plan for the general? How do you reach the moderates in the middle, the non-affiliated voters, which is a big number these days, the independent voters who might be more up for grabs? And how do you even try to reach out to some moderate Democrats?
Well, the race is really about Oregonians themselves, regardless of party affiliation. So this really, to me, isn't about what party you are registered with or not registered with. This is really about whether or not your life is the life you want here. Is this a good life? Are you able to afford rent and gas and groceries? Can you afford your utilities and your insurance? Or do you need someone to help fix some of the policies that are broken that have driven those costs so high? Do you feel like the homelessness is resolved and you can safely walk around your own communities and in your own parks? Or do you feel like you want somebody to step in and end homelessness and stop enabling addiction? That's not partisan. Nothing that's going on in our state right now that's broken is partisan. It's just not. We happen to have a current governor that is a member of the Democrat Party, and I happen to be running against her, and I absolutely am a Republican. I believe in limited government. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the rule of law. I want people to have freedom to live their best lives. Those are my values, and I believe those are the values that Oregon needs right now to be able to turn our state around. So talking to independents, talking to non-affiliated voters, talking to open-minded Democrats, that is an important part of my race because it's talking to Oregonians. And this is a conversation among Oregonians themselves. This is, you know, a conversation, but, you know, in the family. What is it that we want to see changed? What is it that we hope for our future? And is what we're getting good enough? Do we want more of the same? Or do we want a brighter, better vision for our future? And that's what I'm offering. It's not a partisan conversation. It's a conversation about the future of our state that is driven by issues and is driven by accountability for how things have been going, and the knowledge and hope that with the right person in that office that we can turn this stuff around.
You know, for several election cycles here, I've talked to a lot of the candidates for governor, most of them really, and the Republicans have all said in the primaries or in the general that they can win as governor, but it hasn't happened for essentially just about my adult life. Do you feel like, not that we're going to talk about my age, but do you feel like anything is different this time that can make it happen when it hasn't happened since Vicatee in the 80s?
Well, just to be really candid about it, Betsy Johnson had an effect on that last race. That wasn't just any race. She raised $17.5 million as a third-party spoiler candidate. She primarily focused on center-right voters. She underperformed in Democrat strongholds and overperformed in swing and Republican areas. That had an effect on that race. And that wasn't business as usual in that last election. And so this election is the first opportunity to hold Tina Kotek accountable for her own failed record. I would say we haven't had a governor that's as unpopular as her and as ineffective as her running for re-election in a really long time. Oregonians are not happy with her performance. They are not happy with her leadership. That's important. That's an important distinction because elections are not about parties. Elections are about people. And people are not being served right now by this sitting governor. So every election is an opportunity to have a new conversation about what we want for the future of our state. There are no elections that are guaranteed to turn out one way or another. That's not how this works. The people choose. The people are going to decide. And I believe the reckoning is coming, that people are going to rise up and they are going to take responsibility for the future of their own state and their own families. And they're going to make a choice that where they say, I deserve better, we deserve better. I'm voting for Christine Drazen because I believe she can deliver. That's what this campaign is going to be focused on, is having that conversation with people, building that trust, that they can trust me to do what I say I'm going to do, and that I'm capable and competent enough to actually get it done. And we have to know as Oregonians that the future is in our hands. It is not in anybody else's hands but ours. In that last race, if we would have had Republicans actually turn in their ballots, we would have won. This time, we need people to believe that their vote counts. We need them to actually turn in their ballots. And we're going to turn the state around. We're going to win this race. But it's really in the hands of Oregonians.
Now, during the short session of the Oregon State Legislature, a lot of contentious things have been going on. We've got 6 days left, essentially. I wanted to ask you about a couple things that have happened. The gas tax referendum, apparently, at least at this point, moving to the primary. What's your thought there?
Yeah, I think that it's absolute disrespect for the 250,000 Oregonians that signed that petition referendum that clearly stated at the top that they could anticipate that going to the November ballot. And this is just really a sign of weakness on behalf of Tina Kotek, that she would force Democrats in the legislature to move this to the May primary so that it wouldn't be on the ballot with her in November. And so, you know, this is power abusing power. That's what this is. These are people who have power. They have the power to do this, and they're abusing their power. There will be a lawsuit on this issue. This will go through the courts. I don't anticipate the courts reversing the legislature on this matter because, you know, we're talking about judges that have all been appointed by Tina Kotek or Kate Brown, but there will be a court case.
What about the federal tax disconnect bill? What's your thought there?
So, we're talking about a state that has been just shedding jobs and losing businesses to other states. And so, you know, Oregon legislators, Democrats, in their infinite wisdom, made the decision to disconnect from tax benefits that businesses in other states are going to enjoy, but we're going to miss out on here in Oregon. So that's basically a tax increase of over $300 million that's going to trickle down to Oregon families in the price of goods and services in our state. And we have people that are, you know, they are saying one thing and doing another. And that's why people hate politics so much, is because everybody's bickering and everybody's arguing, and then they say one thing and they do the opposite. We need people that are trustworthy. We need people that are honest. We need people that are clear about what their vision is and what they're going to do with the responsibility and the position that we've given them to represent us. That's just not what we're getting in Salem right now.
What are the top things you'd focus on if you were ultimately elected governor?
Absolutely focused on affordability. We have got to get the cost of living in Oregon under control. We are fourth and fifth highest in the nation for the price of food and gas. Well, we know that we are the highest taxed in the nation, next only to Manhattan, if you're in kind of that Portland region. And here in Oregon, you hit the highest tax bracket at $250,000. I mean, at least if you're in Manhattan, you don't pay that highest bracket until you hit $25 million. But here at Oregon, it hits people at $250,000 and up. And so we've got to get affordability under control. And that absolutely affects absolutely everyone. The price of gas is too high. I will pause the regulatory cost drivers that are driving a price of gas in our state, and I will absolutely get affordability in hand. I will also, I'm also committed to fixing our schools and ending homelessness. Those are big, big visions and big goals for our state. But I believe that when we stop enabling addiction, we start recognizing that we need accountability on our streets, that will go further in addressing homelessness on our streets than simply building more tiny homes and giving people a key to a tiny home. That isn't working. So we have to address addiction. We have to provide some accountability, and we need to get people the help that they need to get clean and stay clean. So we're talking about fixing schools, ending homelessness, and lowering the cost of living in our state and reducing taxes. I'm going to tear up Tina Kotek's executive orders on day one. I'm going to fire agency heads. I am going to clean house in state government. Right now, we have agencies that think that they're going to treat the people that are in our state like they're criminals. And these are businesses that are trying to abide by the rules. And these agencies that are regulating them don't care if they put them out of business or not. That changes in my office on day one. We're gonna work with businesses. We're going to get our businesses here in our state to stay. We're going to stop shutting down these mills. And we're going to grow our economy from the inside out. And that can be done if we can reduce some of these taxes, reduce regulations, and create an environment and a culture that we look at folks that are businesses in our state as job creators. That stabilizes families, that stabilizes communities, it supports schools, it supports public safety. There's a partnership there that we need to begin to respect and support.
Along with maybe tax changes, are there some specifics that you would do to keep businesses from leaving Oregon?
Yeah, we need to work with businesses, not against them. I just give you one quick example on this. I hear from constituents all the time that are trying to work their way through the regulatory nightmare that is the DEQ, just as one example. And there are employees at DEQ that routinely send out threatening letters to businesses saying, you know, you need to fill out this permit, and if you don't do it by this date, you're going to get all these penalties and fees, or we're just going to shut you down. The alternative to that is to have an approach to businesses where they partner with them to help them meet these regulatory requirements, not threaten them. And so I will repeal regulations that are slowing business growth. I will expedite permitting. I will provide support for the infrastructure that will allow for more growth and more development. And those issues matter significantly, but we also have to address the fact that, in particular, we've got an economic engine in Portland that's faltering right now because they have no livability in that community. And there isn't downtown traffic. People aren't walking around in downtown Portland. Those businesses have left. We need our urban core to function. We need our rural parts of our state to respect how different it is to operate a business in the rural parts of the state. We need agencies to work with businesses, not against them. And we need to roll back and repeal the regulatory environment that is crushing businesses today. Not that we're going to abandon any of our health and safety requirements. We're still going to have clean water. We're still going to have clean air. But the way that we're doing it right now is abusive to the people that are being regulated. And it's sending them running to other states because they can't make their way through the regulatory environment. That's what my constituents are saying. They're saying, we are willing to comply. We want to comply with these things. But the rules aren't clear, and they're moving the goalposts, and they're constantly threatening to shut us down, and we can't afford to hire the kind of consultants and the attorneys and all the experts and the specialists that they're requiring of us in the time frame that they're requiring it. We need help. We need somebody to work with us right now, and we have agencies that should be doing that.
And if people want to find out more about your campaign, where do they go to do that?
ChristineForOregon.com, and I'd love to hear from people every single day. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
All right, Christine Drazen, candidate for governor, 1257 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.